And good evening to the remnant. This is Richard coming to you on the 22nd of October. I'll be right back. Get your Bibles out. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from, it's a cold day at the Radio Ranch today, folks, the 22nd of October. But you know what? It doesn't matter because God is still on the throne. And this date, hey, it's one of my favorite dates. I have to tell you that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But do want to thank you for joining us. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. I hope that's what you do, folks. I do. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong starting out in prayer. So let's do that. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, on this day toward the end of October. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord Jesus, we thank you most of all that you went to that cross to die for us, to redeem us, your people, the remnant, those that would turn from their wicked ways, those that would and do realize, Father, the need for repentance. And so we thank you for that. Lord Jesus, we pray for this land today. We pray for, Father, for the land. The fires that are going on, Lord, are devastating. We pray for those that have lost homes and loved ones in that, in the fires. And Lord, the political scene is just atrocious on the land, Father. The land is full of lies. And there's no accountability, Father. It is as the time that your word says that they did that which was right in their own eyes. Father, there seems to be a lack of concern for the brethren and for you. But Father, we know that it's not that way with all, and so we pray that Lord, those that don't have that right relationship with you would desire to repent and return to you. Father, for those that have, we pray your blessings upon them, Father. The blessings, the priestly blessing, the blessings of your word on your people. And I thank you for that. Save us, O Lord. When the Son of God saves, you are saved indeed. So save us indeed, O Lord. Save us from the hands of those that hate us. Save us from our sins. Save us, Lord, from the enemy, the nations, the liar that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Guide and direct my words this evening, Lord. Let them be a blessing to you and a blessing to your people, Lord. Let them be words of encouragement as we cry out to you to save us again. And I pray all this to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And Father, we do. We do plead to our Father to save us. You know, today is 10/22/2020. I've talked about those 10/22s before. I love a good 10/22. It comes around every year. And today is that day. But there's a couple of scripture verses that have to do with 10/22s. And I thought I'd share them with you. One is back in Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 10, it's talking about toward the latter end, about a remnant will return. And Isaiah 10:22 says that very thing. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea. And remember, that ties back to the promise that God made to his people. And with this promise, you know, you can look at who has fulfilled this promise. Who has this promise been fulfilled in? Has it been fulfilled? Your people, O Israel, will be like the sand of the sea. You know, that's the promise that God made Jacob, Israel, made Abraham, that Abraham, being an old man, His name changed from Abram to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. That his children would be like the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea, innumerable, without number. And so I ask you, what people? You know, God's promises are true. They are true forever. God does not change, and He does not lie. And so, your people may be like the sand of the sea, Lord. The Lord says that the sand of the sea cannot be numbered. What people are like that? Is the Chinese people? No, they've always been able to be numbered. And the Chippewa Indian tribes? No, they've never been as the sand of the sea. What people have? I ask you that. What people have? And you know, some will say, well, it's not a salvation issue, but it is an issue on how we are to be, what we are to do, what we are not to do. What people have been like the sand of the sea? What people? What people? No, not the Jewish people. The Jewish people have always kept great records, and they're always good about letting you know how many people have died, you know, 6 million in the Holocaust. And they keep real good records. They know exactly how many people they have that there are. But what people cannot be numbered? What people are like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky? And I tell you, it's the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and kindred people, the Caucasian people. They got that name after they were driven into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. And then as they came out of those captivities, a few of them anyway, and they crossed out of the land of Assyria and out of Babylon through the Caucasus mountain range on the steppes of eastern Russia. Western Russia, I guess. And then they came in and settled what we now call the European nations. Oh, this was many years ago. But they drove the hordes out, the barbarians that were in, and they settled those lands. And then they came and settled this country. And it's called the Anglo-Israel message, or the Anglo-Israel truth. And if you don't understand it, we have some information. We have a booklet by Pastor Peters called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. And we have a great map. It's a placemat size, and it's the Westward Trek map. And it shows where these people came from, and how their names changed from Isaac's sons to the Saxons, and how these people came into being. And that's the Isaiah 10:22 for today. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. And see, there again is another mark of true biblical Israel. Of what people has a remnant, that means just a small portion of them, turned? Back to their God. And I tell you, it's only in the Caucasian people. It's only in this nation of America, for the most part. Certainly there's people in other nations that have turned back to Christ, but what other nation still has a semblance of Christianity in their public way of life and in their laws? None of this is in my notes for tonight, folks. It's not. It's just that today's the 22nd of the 10th month, and that 10:22, boy, that should point us in directions. That should point us at scriptures. It should. It should. And all of the around here in Isaiah, you know, I hate to take just one verse, a couple of sentences or just a few words and read it without looking at the context around it. And so when you look at all of Isaiah 10, it's listed as Assyria is God's instrument. See, God's instrument against the people that He loves, against His children. Assyria, it's said, is the rod of God's anger. That's what it says in verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hands is my indignation. He says, I send it against a godless nation. So tell you what, godless nation, if you want to wonder why you have enemies, it's because God sends them against you. Read Isaiah 10. Read Isaiah 9. Verse 8 of Isaiah 9, the Lord sends a message, a word against Jacob, and it falls on Israel, and all the people know it. Well, see, our people don't know it today. They don't. They don't, but read it. God says, I will send it against a godless nation and commission it against the people of my fury. That's us, folks. That's why we have enemies today. That is why we have enemies that want to cram this cross-dressing, ungodly, whatever they call it, Bible reading hour. That's why they want to expose our children to that. That's why we're being invaded from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. That's why we have enemies within our own lands, gang members that come up that steal, kill, and destroy. They don't care. We have enemies because God has done this. See, that's the power. That was the power that Gideon had, was because he knew that the Lord had brought the Midianites against them because of their sin. And that is our power that we have today, remnant. And it's just a few of us that understand it. So says the Word, that it is God who has done this. Read all of Isaiah 10. By the power of my hand and by my wisdom I did this. Verse 13. But in verse 20, now in that day the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Well, how does that figure? Well, when you rely on the government, who taxes you beyond belief, who doesn't care about you, when you rely on them for your health, safety, and welfare, it's a losing battle. It's a losing proposition. That is, and this is prophesied against. It's Isaiah 10, starting at 20. In that day, those who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 21, a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. I encourage you to read it all. Oh man, this it leads right into the scripture that taken from the Septuagint. We put it in the on the anointing oil bottles. So I encourage you to read all of this, Isaiah 10. It gives you it will open up why these things are happening to us. You read through it. Read through it. It is. It's a great 10:22. And there's one more that I'd like to go to. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews has another excellent 10:22. And you know, the 10:22 is a great little rifle. Perfect for plinking, and boy, it can be modified all kind of different ways, and it's a great rifle. Ruger's been making them for over 50 years. Hebrews 10:22. Says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, that's under the subheading of a new and living way. It's how we are to live. And of course, it's talking of, yes, repentance and baptism. Drawing near with a sincere heart. That means being serious about it. Folks, it's time to be serious. It's time to see the handwriting on the wall. It's not a time for business as usual. This year on 10/22/2020 is not like it was last year on 10/20/2019. And that's not like it was a few years before on 10/20/2015. It's not. It's a time to do, as this 10:22 tells us, to draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. That means His Word says it. We need to believe it and apply it and live by it. It goes on in verse 23, says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. That means Jesus Christ who promised is faithful. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, who promised, He is faithful. And so we can hold fast. We can hold fast to that. Without faith, without wavering. And verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, Remnant, that's all I can do. That's all I am trying to do, is to encourage you to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as we see the day drawing near. I see the day drawing near. But we're given, as it says, a new and a living way. The world, it's crumbling. The house of cards that makes up the political system in this land, it's crumbling. The house of cards that makes up the medical and the healthcare system in this land, it's crumbling. It's crumbling. The things that are put out by the, you know, whether it's Dr. Fauci or the World Health Organization or the American Association of Pediatrics or the doctors, the AMA, whatever. See, it's crumbling. It's crumbling. People are seeing. People are seeing the hypocrisy that are in these things. The hypocrisy that's in our federal government and in our state governments. But we're not to be concerned with those things, and so I hope that you are not. I hope that you're not. Again, wow, into this program tonight, 20 minutes, not even part of my notes here. What I wanted to remind you, I had a couple phone calls earlier today about the fires down in Colorado. They've blown up so much that they've been making the national news. We've had our hands full this last month or two, and still do, of fires. There's more Colorado evacuations ordered last night. Very much, and these things that are very similar to something else. I want to see if you can pick up on it. Had the Grand Lake evacuated, over 400 people there, and Granby is on standby. If you remember, Grand Lake was, we went up when Pastor did that video with Jim Lynch years ago called That Summer. And we went up and had a final summer ride in the Grand Lake area in Granby with Jim Lynch. And that was where 30 years previous, Jim and Pastor had ridden as they rode and looked after cattle up in the mountains. And, you know, Pastor Peter's referenced that several times in his teachings. And it had changed then. And that was back, I think, 06 or 07 when we did that. And the pastor had mentioned how much it had changed even then. And now it's burning. And they've had to evacuate the town. The East Troublesome Fire has grown. It's grown to 125,000 acres. This is a different fire. It was growing in the wind 6,000 acres an hour. Okay? That's like 8 or 9 sections in an hour. That's crazy, folks. Never have we seen this type of fire. We've been out here 19 years. I've been on the volunteer fire department for 18 years. Never have we heard of this type of fire growth outside of California. Never. The Cowwood Fire, another fire in the area just outside of Boulder, the largest ever in that Boulder County, over 9,000 acres, 20 homes have been burned. And then, of course, the Cameron Peak Fire, still burning. That's only about 20 miles away from us here at the ranch. We're not in any danger. But it's because it's burning the other way. Largest fire in Colorado history. Over 206,000 acres. Been burning over 2 months. Burned over 100 homes. We've never seen anything like this in Colorado. But it's become commonplace in California. And it's unfortunate that I dare to say, I hate to say that it's becoming commonplace more and more in Colorado. The fires that they've had later and later in the year. The fires that start earlier and earlier in the year. And I'm seeing the fire situation in Colorado starting to mimic that of Colorado. In Colorado, mimic that of California. And I say, well, why shouldn't it? Look at what Colorado has done. Look at Colorado. They've elected an openly homosexual, sinning, practicing sinning, thumbing his nose at God, Governor Polis, with his first husband. They mock God. They are, as poked our brother Bruce down, he's down in Aurora in the Denver area. And he told me about how they are just the rabbis and whatnot down there are pushing and promoting abortion. Colorado has a Proposition 115 on the ballot to do away with abortion and to guarantee children, you know, baby, newborns' rights and right to life and to medical treatment and those type things. And Bruce told me the ads, the TV ads and the billboards are all against it. They're all against Proposition 115. They're pro-abortion, pushing. Oh, it's a woman's right. We have to. Bruce was telling me that these rabbis are coming on the TV. Oh, we have to make sure that the women can do this. See, they're God haters. So why wouldn't God burn up the damn state? When they hate him, they hate life. They love death. Here's some death to the forest. Here you go, God says. How do you like that? And all they do is ask for more money from the feds to fight these natural disasters. And they talk about how Mother Nature must be mad and must be upset. No, I tell you who's mad. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, that's who's mad. That's who's mad at those that mock Him and flip Him the bird, flip Him the finger, and say, no. And you know, He only puts up with it for so long. Every one of you know that. Every one of you, well, see, we're made in His image. And we put up with stuff. We turn the other cheek. We put up with it for a while. That day is coming like it used to come for Popeye. Right? I've stands all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And that's when he'd reach for that can of spinach. I think God's reaching for his can of spinach. I think he's got his finger in the pop top, and he's lifting it up, and he's just fixing to rip the top off that, like Popeye used to do in those cartoons. And when he downs that spinach as Popeye did, boy, it was... You know, the bad guy was getting a whooping. Things were changing in ways no one could imagine. Folks, we see that in the Word. We know that the perilous times are here. Now, they're here for our testing. We've been talking about that the last few weeks. And we're not to be surprised at these fiery ordeals. They come on us for our testing. Are you going to just... run around like Chicken Little. Oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Is that how you're going to respond to this testing that's going on? We prayed last night about the mask mandate. And you know, people say, well, it's just a mask. And then it's just a vaccine. And then it's just a quarantine. And it's just a quarantine camp. And it's just for your own good. See, the enemy can't stop with that. They can't stop. They cannot. It's not in their nature. We're not to be that way, folks. We can't be that way. We can't. Record fires right here in Colorado, right here next to us. Will we, across the nation, will we continue to ignore this? We've seen it out in California. Many have just written California off. I know God hasn't, because it hasn't rained down like Sodom and Gomorrah yet. He wrote off Sodom and Gomorrah. See, God argued. There was an Abraham at that time, an Abraham that argued with God. Said, God, oh, if there's 10 righteous, and apparently there wasn't. And God opened that can of spinach, that can of whoop, you know what. He opened it. And that was all she wrote. And there were none that escaped that day. None. None. Not one, not two. Lot and his wife got out, and she didn't make it very far. Right? She didn't make it very far. Just not at all. It's just as simple as that. Well, it's coming. Boy, this wasn't in my notes either. Calling for a fast on Sunday. Okay? I hope you're somewhat familiar with it. Maybe you are. Maybe you've seen it. Franklin Graham's calling for it. A fast. Fast and pray. How about that? Call out to God. You think that's something we can do? You think that's something we need to do? Ask yourself. Look in the mirror. Do you think we need to cry out to God? You think we need to cry out to God? And I tell you, yeah, we do. We do. From the pastors in the land to the unbelievers in the land. Because there's only one thing that'll save us, and that's Jesus Christ. I'll be right back.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Get united and take their stand. There ain't much that the devil can do. It's written he's been defeated. Jesus took away his keys. He said the gates of hell cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. It is in that name of Jesus, that name of Jesus Christ, that name that is greater and higher than any and all names. That is what we gather in. There's a fast being called, a fast and prayer, called for by Sunday by Franklin Graham. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen a couple things on social media. We haven't really had a chance to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it tonight. I'm going to put it out to you. I'm going to encourage you to fast and pray on Sunday. Do without food, if at all possible. Do without the other things that please you. Do without the television, whatever time you watch it, on Sunday. Do without it. Because let me tell you something. The power's cut off. You're going to do without it anyway. So just get used to it. How about that? Fast and pray on Sunday. Turn back to God. Franklin Graham is calling for it. You know, he called for a march last month. No, not singers, not speakers, not big names. Just to march and pray in the nation's capital. And so, it's kind of hard to tack on an ungodly or a political agenda when a man of God just calls for people to pray, to gather and pray. And that's what's coming this Sunday. Fast and pray. You know, prayer is not really a foreign concept to us as Christians. It shouldn't be anyway. We should be familiar with praying, with prayer. And, you know, we pray when we're in need. We pray when we're hurting. We pray for others. We pray for healing. We pray for jobs, for provision. I hope you pray for your church. We try to pray for you, Remnant. We do. I hope you pray for your country and for your friends and your family. We've encouraged you to pray. You know, we're to pray for our leaders. We are to be, as we say, a praying people. Fasting is another part of that. Okay? It is. It's another part of that. It's like if you're dieting and you're exercising like crazy, you're walking, you're jogging, you're doing all that, but you haven't changed what you eat. Okay? You're doing more, but if you're still eating junk food, you're not going to do too well. And on the other hand, if you change the way you're eating and you eat great food, but you don't do any type of exercise or physical activity, you're going to see some gains. But when you combine those two together, when you combine good, clean eating and a good diet along with good, healthy exercise, well, the results can be astounding. That's here in the physical. Do you not realize how it's like that in the physical as well? Because fasting, when coupled with prayer, is a tried and true combination of getting yourself to the point or place where you can hear from God and where you can be guided by the Holy Spirit. And you may say, how? And I'll say, well, if you got a couple days, let's talk about it. You know, the hows and whys of our God. Probably take a couple weeks. We could do a Bible study, 8 or 10 hours a day, and try to get to the bottom of that. But if you have ever combined praying and fasting, then you know the power that's there. I was talking earlier today about the power of fasting just for physical. You know, if you have kidney stones, you have kidney problems, you could do a 3-day fast. You don't eat any food. You just drink all the heavy, as raw and rough as you can get apple juice, apple cider, all that you can. Drink a gallon a day, 2 gallons a day. I've done that and worked all day, not eating any food, and go 3 days like that. And it's a kidney flush. It does wonders for you physically. I've done that. I know I can speak it. So I know there's many out there that have done that very thing, that have combined prayer and fasting, and then you realize the power that's there, the drawing nearer to God that's possible. King David fasted. Jesus fasted. The pilgrims fasted. I had down in my notes, even General Robert E. Lee called for a fast during the war between the states. Our pastor fasted. I like Franklin Graham. I haven't sat down with him and had an opportunity to talk to him about theology. I'm sure that we would come to a couple different agreements. But I like him better than his dad, Billy Graham. I think Franklin Graham has the ear of presidents and many men, and he's not out to try to please men, but to please God. That's just my opinion of it. He's calling for a fast right here on the 25th. That's Sunday. That's Sunday, folks. A week before Halloween. How do you think Halloween's going to be this year? What is it? Saturday night, full moon, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the enemy's going to be, they're going to be ripping and roaring. No doubt about it. That's their plan. What's your plan, Christian? Just go ahead and just get drunk? Is that what you're going to do on Halloween night? Not worry about it? Just to keep the lights off in your house and no trick-or-treaters come by? Let's start getting ready now. And that's not the only reason to pray and fast. But as if that ungodly celebration isn't in enough just in itself to fast and pray over. Do we not see that our absolute culture is under attack? Our Christian culture, our American culture, our American way of life, the family, is under attack? The heathens are raging. Oh, they're gnashing their teeth. Not only because they're not getting their way, but because they're just outraged. They're outraged against anything and everything that is good and right and pure in this land. And I think that starts with the attacks on the unborn. The way that abortion, you know, you can't say anymore that, well, we just didn't know. You know, there's some out there that are uneducated, that have turned a blind eye, that just don't know. But the masses can't say that anymore. The majority can't. Oh, we've seen for years how much the name of Jesus is hated, how much the Bible is hated, how they want to chisel off any reference to the Bible on any national monument. You can't even agree with other Christians about morals today, because the situational ethics is taken over. You know, it's taught, Billy stole a loaf of bread. Is that good or bad? And it's, well, why did Billy steal? Well, Billy was hungry, so he stole. So since Billy is hungry, is it okay if he steals? And that situational ethics is just taken over. And that's just one of the, like the common core math that's been taught, that is just, it's ungodly. It has nothing to do with how this nation was formed or what helps prosper this nation. Socialism, communism are knocking on the door. They are knocking on the door. They got their moving truck at our door waiting to move in. Waiting to move in, kick us out, take over. Socialism, communism, the only difference is the spelling. The ungodly lifestyle that has just become commonplace. It's just commonplace. You know, people are living together outside of marriage, men and women, and we say, well, you know, at least they haven't brought children into that yet. You know, or they're doing small drugs, and you say, well, at least they're not doing heroin. At least they're not doing crack or meth. This hedonistic lifestyle is just being acceptable, socially acceptable. Yeah, I heard on Christian radio the other day about, you know, make sure you talk to your children if they're watching TV, because all the shows are presenting these homosexual lifestyles and these queers and these lesbians and these filthy faggots that are going to burn in hell, and they want you to burn in hell too if they keep practicing this lifestyle. It's called sin, folks. And the sinner does not make it into the kingdom of God. If you're a liar, you better stop lying, because you're not going to make it into the kingdom. If you practice adultery, if you're a drunk, you don't make it into the kingdom of God. Like it or not. Like it or not. That's what the Word says. Does God have to open up that can on California? Does he have to open it up on whatever state, You can't just say, well, California, I'm glad I don't live there. You know, no, there's still some good godly people there. Or else God would have already opened up that can and already poured out his wrath on it. But he is patient, he is kind, but it only goes so far. We cannot continue to push and to push and to push and to just hope and count on the good graces of our God. I hope you're seeing the signs of the times. As I read, you know, we're trying to encourage to love and good deeds. We can't grow weary of doing good in these times that we're in. No, we have to adapt and overcome. And how do we overcome? Revelation tells us, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. By the word of our testimony. We are at war, Christian. We are at war, remnant. We are at war. It's the age-old war of good versus evil, of right versus wrong, of left versus right, of the sheep versus the goats. It's the age-old story of David versus Goliath. Goliath standing and cursing our God, cursing our people. That's what the liar does, and that's what they're doing. And it's time for Davids to rise up and to say, no more. No more. Now, if you feel so inclined to do that, just remember that no move towards God, including praying and fasting this Sunday, goes unnoticed by Satan. Be aware of it, just don't beware it. Okay? It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to understand. Okay? It's something to understand. We know greater is Christ who is for us than anything that can come against us. We have victory in Christ. We do. You know, there's just sometimes that maybe we just need to do a little more. Okay? It's like that when you're exercising or when you're dieting. Maybe everything's going fine, but, you know, many times when you're doing that, you'll reach a plateau. And you're still eating good. Maybe you're still doing your walking or running or rowing or whatever it is, and it's just a plateau. Things just stop changing. And sometimes you have to shake it up, right? Maybe you have to increase the intensity of your workouts. Or you have to change your diet a little bit to get continued results. Maybe what worked last week isn't working. And that's where adding fasting to our prayers comes in. You know, many of the remnant are familiar with fasting. There's some that aren't. There's just some that aren't. You know, fasting is abstaining, and I'm looking, I'm running out of time. I'll give a couple of highlights. You know, basically abstaining, you know, just doing without, going without, okay? Most of the time it's associated with food. You know, I wouldn't recommend children go without food, or even teenagers. I don't recommend that they do. Maybe they could fast and just abstain from something else. Okay? Abstain from something else. And it's an opportunity to focus ourselves, to give ourselves a little better focus on relying on God for the strength that we need and relying on God for the provision that we need. You know, I think that after this election, what's going to bust loose in this country? And I think supply chains could be broken, and we could be looking at supply issues like we did back at the beginning of this so-called pandemic, this plandemic that we've had. And so when we pray and fast, we get an opportunity to refocus on and rely on God for His provision and for that faith that we need strengthened. That God can provide, and God will provide. And it gives us an opportunity to rely, to focus on relying on God for the direction and the wisdom that we need. Christian fasting gives us an opportunity to take our eyes off the things of the world. Instead of just saying, you know, man, it's about, oh, geez, it's dinner time. I hope that steak's done. Or, you know, it's lunchtime. I'm getting a little hungry, and it's about time to go eat. It's an opportunity to take our eyes off that and to focus on, what is it you want me to be doing, God? What is it I want to grow closer to you. I want to have deeper fellowship with you, Lord. Sometimes we have to abstain of the things of the world, whether they're our cell phone, whether they're our computer, whether it's social media, whether it's our food, dinner. You know, Daniel, and again, don't have time to get through all this, but Daniel, he gave up, it says, the pleasurable elements of food and drink. And he didn't cover himself with oil. He abstained from those comfort items, you might say. And so read Daniel 9. You'll read it, Daniel 9, Daniel 10. You can read about Daniel. You can read about the fasting that he did. You know, many people, they put out the Daniel fast. You know, fruits and vegetables and water. And that's fine for a while. That's not a way of, shouldn't be a way of life. But fasting that way, you know, doing away with meat for a while. No problems with that. Now, when you read through it, again, we're told later on that, you know, when we fast, we're not to have that sour look, you know, and that dour expression. Yes, don't mess with me. I'm grumpy because I'm fasting. Ho, 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 look at me. No, not at all. We are to anoint ourselves, it says, and to take care of so that it's not an outward sign. But God sees our heart. He sees what and why we do things. Praying, fasting, confessing our sin. Take time if you know, when you pray and fast, and I hope we talk about this again on Saturday morning on Coffee with the Wranglers. But pray and fast and confess sin. We've all sinned. Confess sin. Confess sins of your fathers. Confess the sins of the land. Confess the sins of our leaders. Confess our sins. Lord, forgive us for allowing abortion in the land in the first place. It's a time to focus on calling out to God. It's Matthew 6. You can read Matthew 6, 16 through 18, about, you know, whenever you fast. It says, don't put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, because they want to be noticed by people. They want to be noticed, you know. We're not passing bumper stickers out or banners. I'm fasting. Don't offer me any food. No, that's not what it's about. It is a personal thing. It's not to be put up before men. We're sharing this with you, Remnant. We're calling for you to fast. We're calling for you to pray on Sunday, the 25th. And, you know, it's not to... You don't have to call us and tell us that you're doing it. You can if you want. It's between you and God. It's between our nation and God. And who is our nation made up of but us and others? And the prayer and fasting that we're calling for is, you know, as it says where in Joel, to rend our heart and not our garments. To rend our heart. To grow closer to God. To ask for our land to be healed. Because it needs to be healed. You know, Nehemiah 1, I do want to share this. I know we're running out of time, but Nehemiah 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "They said to me, 'The remnant there in the province who survived the captivity, they're in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire.'" And do you notice how that Jerusalem is spelled? Spell it out. Look at it. Jerusalem. And then Nehemiah said, "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Well, folks, I tell you, these times that Nehemiah had, they're upon us again. They are upon us again. They are. Folks, I think that's about all the time I got. Running out of time on the program. And I think as well in our days, folks, it is. Don't be surprised at the perilous, the fiery trials that you face. As though they were something strange. They are for our testing, for our strengthening. It's like why we do push-ups, to get stronger, to be healthier. That's what these times are for. They're for our testing. Are we going to grow weak and weary? Are we going to grow weary of doing good? No, I hope not. I hope you don't. I hope that you don't. Well, folks, that's all the time we got. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for joining us. Sorry I didn't get to the phone lines tonight. We'll have the phone lines open Saturday morning. We encourage you to join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 a.m. for you guys on the West Coast. But join us right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll see you then. Thank you.